Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE-FM, 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. I keep wanting to throw in the .com there here this week for some reason, but we are glad that you have tuned in. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We are going to be meeting together this coming Sunday. We've also got Wednesday night. Now, we do have some schedule disruptions that are coming over the next few weeks, and so we want to encourage you to go to meritassembly.com, and you can keep up to date on that. Facebook, the Merit Assembly of God page, will also have that information, but we're doing some beautification efforts, and that's going to provide a little bit of a disruption, so we are believing that good things are in store. So thank you for coming and being a part of the radio program. Been doing this radio program for nearly 7 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has been. And we are thankful for those who have visited during the last 6.5 years. If you've heard about our message, this is still the most effective ministry that we have at Merit Assembly of God. I'm still amazed by that, and we give God the glory for that. But we're looking to not just be a one ministry church, but a multiple ministry church. That's what we are, and we want to be a blessing. That is the reason we exist. We are blessed to be a blessing, and pray that this radio program will be a blessing to you today. Right now we are going through 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, and it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We are talking about if my people who are called by my name. I want you to understand that the name of Jesus is to be glorified, not the name of Bob. The kingdom of Jesus is to be glorified, not the Assembly of God or any other title. We exist for the glory of God. And so we're talking about some things that happen because of the name of Jesus. I want you to know that you don't just slap a bumper sticker on your forehead and it says, "I believe in Jesus." That does not make you changed. It's not because of the bumper sticker. It is because of Jesus working in our life. So today I want to take you to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at something here today. It says in verse number 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So, first of all, let's just touch on a few little things just to set context. And the first one is God wants you to understand what His will is. God wants me to understand what His will is. He does not want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The second is do not be drunk. Don't get high. Don't get drunk. Where your mental faculties are compromised. Okay? Now, if you find yourself on the side of the equation where you are trying to defend getting drunk or alcoholic consumption or doing drugs which are going to impair you or any of that sort of stuff, then you need to understand you're on the wrong side of the equation. Jesus came to deliver us. He came to give us something better. There are way too many ministers who have been embarrassed publicly because they were intoxicated. There are way too many celebrities who have done things while they were intoxicated that embarrassed them. There are way too many politicians who have been embarrassed. There are way too many church members who have done things. And it's not just about the embarrassment factor. There are lives that have been forever altered because people made an unwise choice to go and get drunk or get high, and then they end up getting in a car accident, a motorcycle accident. Sometimes it doesn't damage that person physically, but it destroys another human being's life. I want you to understand, this is not something that is trivial. It is something very important. God's got something better, and that is this: be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, you know what being filled with the Holy Spirit does? It doesn't impair our mental faculties. It renews our minds so that we are operating with a divinely renewed mind. So we think better than we thought before. Okay? But be filled with Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you this, that if you are living under the authority of the name of Jesus, if people know that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you and I ought to be thankful continually, if not uninterrupted continually. It should be predominantly giving thanks to the Lord our God. There should be just minor disruptions because we understand how blessed we are. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were hopeless. We were servants. We were slaves of sin, and Jesus set us free. He has empowered us to live a way that we never could have lived on our own, and now we have a hope and a future. We have promises that are in store for us, crowns that are awaiting us that we never could have expected before. But now we have got a better way of living. You cannot be living under the authority of Jesus and remain in a condition of ungratefulness. There is a disconnect. If you and I are ungrateful people, there is a problem somewhere between our understanding of what a Christian is and living under the name of Jesus Christ. I saw an article. I go through multiple news sites. I think I've told you that before. I never thought we would be in an America where, you know, people are trying to censor things the way that they are. And I was doing some research here earlier about something, and it's like, you know, I think I remember this, and I found that historical event had been completely digitally sanitized. It was like they had completely revised it. And I thought, man, that's really telling. It's a serious problem. So anyway, I was looking and I came across this news article. And it wasn't from a Christian source, and it said this, that people who think negatively with great frequency, that they are more susceptible than other elements of society. And these are self-identifying people who are saying, I just don't see anything good going on at all. People who see everything through the lens of negativity set themselves up for a higher percentage of vulnerability to mental debilitating diseases. I saw the headline and I said, you know, the first time I passed it up and I saw it again, I said, you know, I need to click on that. And as I read the article, I said, man, and I literally started taking pictures with my phone of what the article said, because whenever we think negatively, there are things that get deposited inside of our physiology that creates this vulnerability. If there should be a very small percentage of anything in the body of Christ, it should be this: Christians who think negatively all the time. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And I will tell you that it is very difficult. I preached a message here a few weeks ago that we have to take every thought captive. And I will tell you, it is tough to do. You have to bring that thought. You have to subject it to the obedience of Christ. You've got to force it into compulsion or into submission to what the Word of God has to say. If not, then it's very easy to see things as beyond your control. But when you are giving thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, you know that there is nothing beyond His control. There's a big difference there. And then it just says this: submitting to one another in the fear of God. I would just like to point out to some men out there that Ephesians chapter 5 does not begin with verse number 22. Okay? When we live in reverence to God, that means that not only does God want me to be successful in my mission, but He wants me to help you to be successful in your mission, in your God-given mission. And so it is a mutual relationship of respect that happens in the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you to be thankful for everything that God has done for you. I want to take you over just a couple of books to the book of Colossians. My pages are not turning. Colossians. I saw something on Facebook about how frustrated people are trying to open up the little plastic bags in the produce aisle without licking their fingers. It's very, very hard to do. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, as the elect of God, there are certain things that we are highly encouraged, I'll put it that way, mandated by the Holy Spirit is another way that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be holy. We are supposed to recognize that we are the loved of God and that we are supposed to be a person who practices the love of God. We are supposed to operate in tender mercies. I don't know if you've ever encountered a believer that their next act of mercy will be their first one, but I have. And it's not supposed to be that way. We are supposed to be recipients of His mercy, and we are supposed to be practicers of it as well. We are supposed to be kind. We are supposed to be humble. We are supposed to operate in meekness, which is strength under control. We're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to bear one another, and we're supposed to forgive one another. Okay? Now, let me just stop here for just a moment, because I think that there is a serious misunderstanding about the extent of the forgiveness. If you look at the verse that says, whatever measure you use, that will be the measure that is used against you, and it will be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's actually talking about how we forgive. It's talking about how we forgive. And Jesus said, if we do not forgive others, then we will not be forgiven. It is a basic principle when it comes to the concept of forgiveness. And right now, the church needs a refresher course in forgiveness. Not forgiveness by God, but forgiving one another. Okay? One of the things that I teach to couples that are going to get married, and they come to me and want me to walk through premarital counseling with them, is that there are probably going to be times where there is what I label intense fellowship, where there are a husband and a wife, and even though they love one another, they may not see things in perfect harmony. There might be some friction there, and you need to work that out. You don't just sweep it under the rug. Too many times people want to just sweep things right under the rug. And if you continue to do that, you end up with a lump under the rug, and you end up tripping, and it's going to be a constant plague in that relationship. It's like, well, what's that over there? Oh, those are our unresolved issues. We need to resolve those issues. What I tell couples is this: whenever you have one of those moments, you have to stay on topic. You have to stay on point. You cannot come out and say, well, you always do this and you never do this. One of the things that I was taught is that in situations like that, always never means always, and never, never means never. Okay? It is somebody trying to bring in something from outside of the topic that we are dealing with right now, and trying to force that into the issue and muddy the waters. You will never bring any resolution to that. So, with this concept of forgiveness being at the forefront, I want to ask you, when you ask God to forgive you, or when you ask someone else to forgive you, how do you want them to do that? What's the measure you want to use? Do you just want them to forgive you for that moment? Or do you want them to forgive you in such a way that from this point forward, the slate is going to be a completely different slate? It's going to be clean. Now, I will tell you that if you have stumbled and you need to ask forgiveness, you're the one that needs to remember what you did so that you don't do it again. You don't want to be repeating the same things. You need to learn from your past. You need to learn from your mistakes. The Bible talks about that the sins that we commit, that they have the possibility of enduring for 3 or 4 generations. So I want to ask you, do you want your kids having to repent for your mistakes? How about your grandkids or your great-grandkids? You would say, well, do you want them held responsible for the things that you do? Well, right now, we see that there are people, and they're still not forgiving. And I will tell you, it's perfectly understandable. It is perfectly understandable that if you have never experienced the forgiveness of God, for you to have a complete disconnect when it comes to the concept of forgiveness. If you've never experienced it, you can't be a practitioner of it. It's not possible. Jesus is the author of forgiveness. Now, unforgiveness and bitterness, those are in the devil's scope of activities, and he specializes in those things. So I want to encourage you to, when you forgive someone, that you're not there holding that over their head anymore. Instead, you say, you know what? I'm going to forgive them the same way that I want God to forgive me. You above all these things, you put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There is a serious disconnect with love. Probably the most profound thought that I've had recently is this: the farther that we get away from God as a society, the further removed from his love we're going to be. And so we can expect that there are going to be manifestations of a lack of compassion and even hostility, anger, rage, things like that, are because we do not understand the biblical concept of love, which is the bond of perfection. It is the perfect thing that holds us together. Okay? I want you to know that in spite of my wife and I who've been married for decades now, that she still does not have a perfect husband. I still do not have a perfect wife. But we do have a bond. And that bond is the perfection. The love of God does not have any defects in it. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It goes on to say this: let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, verse number 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It is because of the name of Jesus that everything we do has got to be done for the glory of God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this: has Jesus given you the authority to do this? Has Jesus given you the authority to do that? It is a great template to be able to use. It will keep you out of trouble. One of the things that I've done in the past is I taught church polity to people who were going on looking for credentials in the Assemblies of God. And there is a book that is called Robert's Rules of Order. It's a book on parliamentary procedure. It is the book on parliamentary procedure. And so you would find it practiced in England. You would find it practiced in the halls of Congress, city councils, governments across. And so it tells you what is and isn't permissible per the rules of order. And so in my studies, or with my students, I would tell them that the political divide that we see in America has to do with two different perspectives on the relationship between people and the Constitution. One person will look at it and say, well, you know what? It doesn't forbid me from doing this, so therefore I am going to do that. And in that case, you get a whole lot of things that are going on that are just not specifically spelled out. Those are the people that need an itemized list with all sorts of subpoints and all of that sort of stuff. They're looking for the loophole. They're looking for, well, this is permissible because it's not forbidden. The second mindset is this: unless it tells me that I can do something, that I am empowered to do something, then it is not permissible for me. So you would see that Paul says, you know what? Not everything that I can do is beneficial to me. What I need to operate by is this: everything that I do, I represent Jesus. Everything that we do as believers is supposed to represent Jesus. So, if I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly, then my wisdom, my teaching, my conversations with others, my worship, the grace that we have in God, everything that I do is going to be done for His glory. Whatever we do, do it in His name. And let me just throw in one more verse here today. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that was 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want the name of Jesus glorified. And that means that we pray for him to be glorified, that we would live in a manner that's worthy of Him being glorified, that we operate in faith, and that everything that we do, when you go to the grocery store, it is possible for you and I to operate in such a manner that Jesus is glorified. You say, well, how in the world is that possible? Well, you just listen for what God has to say, and you say, God, open my eyes so that I can see what You are doing, and then we just get involved in what God is doing in that situation. You know, I think that too many times the devil has us in reactionary mode, and God wants us in a mode that says, you know what, I just want you to make it very simple. Do everything in my name so that I'm glorified, and do it in the love that I've given you to do it in. And watch what amazing things God will do. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. As we